we will laugh again. Amen. Laughter is good for the soul. So it's been said. God has given us that one thing. Imagine that. That we can laugh. Not laughing at someone else's expense, but the joy that comes with laughter. Imagine this. Imagine waiting 25 years for what God has promised. Amen. The frustration, the waiting, the anguish, the bad decisions that Abraham and Sarah had made. There was no laughing, amen, during that waiting period. Isn't that amazing? That even though we know the promise of God, yet we lose our joy waiting for God. Some of you don't realize that God has you in what's called a holding pattern, a waiting season. Amen. And now we find in our message today, we've been walking through the life of Abraham and Sarah. In this moment now, we see that the joy of this son must have been amazing for Sarah and Abraham. The long-awaited moment for the promised son. It's amazing that people laugh at other people's expenses. That people will say they're laughing with you, but they're really laughing at you. Amen. They're not gonna tell you that you're ruining your life. They're just gonna go on along with you, laughing along with you. Because actually some of the stuff we end up doing is really comical. Come on, help me somebody. Imagine they were waiting on God, but they left the will of God, and Abraham and Sarah lied about their relationship. Whenever you enter a relationship and a lie is going to end up ruined. Amen. And so a lot of times we don't pay attention to the red flags, but I want to say this to you. When you enter in ignoring the things that you should address, you're not going to laugh very long. You see, when you enter relationships, you need to understand that everything has to be put on the table. Abraham and Sarah, they left where they were because God called Abraham. We find here in our text now that Abraham is way past having children. Sarah is way past having children. And I thought about this. I want you to come with me here because I want you to look at this from the perspective of Abraham. But I also want you to look at it from the perspective of Sarah. Let's look at it. It says Abraham, after she had the baby, says, verse 2 says, so Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, and at the what? I dealt with this last week. At the what? At the appointed time which God had spoken to him. Okay. See that? Now it says, now we look at the naming of the child. It's interesting because you're going to find out something here. But I believe we will laugh again because the first thing, because God can birth through us his promise. God can what? Do the impossible, but God will birth through us the promise. See, we may think that the promise that God has for us comes through somebody else. And I can imagine how Abraham and Sarah could have thought that, man, this ain't gonna happen for us. And you've seen throughout their lives that they panicked. Hagar, Sarah had Abraham to have a child with another woman. Amen. That's called adultery. But they didn't see it as adultery in the moment because they were trying to help the promise. Come on, help me somebody. And so getting to this birth required patience. It required restraint. It required resilience. It required trust. Can I ask you a question? What has God birthed in you? Come on, help me somebody, that you've been waiting for. And you're saying, God, I know one day it's going to happen for me. Amen. Listen, it may be taking a long time. It took 25 years to come to pass, but yet God did not use a substitute. I believe we can laugh again because God can birth through us. Come on, help me somebody. Tell your neighbor, it's not over. It's not over for me. Amen. God still has good use of me. And God can use me for his glory. For whatever God has promised, God will deliver. Look what it says. It says, verse 3, Abraham called the name of his son. I'm sorry, where am I at? Yeah, verse 3, right. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom what? Sarah bore to him. What's his name? Now write this down. The name Isaac means he laughs. So not only was his name Isaac, his name meant, you know, like today, you know, we name our kid Alizé and Mercedes and Lexus and every kind of car we can find. You know, we that's how we name our kids. But here's the thing you need to know. The text says that Sarah bore to him Isaac. And the word Isaac means he laughs. It's amazing because the name, just the name itself means something. Are you with me? The name is a reminder. Oh, I wish I had somebody today. And so I believe we can laugh again because we will never forget what it took to get to the promise. Huh? We will never what? Forget what it, what it, can I ask you a question? What did it take to get you here this morning? Come on and help me somebody. You got to get them kids up. They invited. Come on and help me somebody. Took something this morning, ain't it? Amen. But yet you're here. Are you with me? And you need to, what we realize is this, that he was the son of Abraham, Isaac, through whom God would bless the nation and keep his covenant, amen, and his promise to Abraham. Let me say this. The way God will keep his promise to you is that he has to give you something physically. He has to show you something physically after you've been walking by faith as a representation of the fact that, yes, I'm with you. See, we can laugh again because we understand that we went through the pain, but guess what? I will never forget how long it took to get to where I am in life. Come on, help me somebody. And I thank God this morning. I thank God this morning that not only does he make good on his promise, but he's a God that can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. Let's look at verse 4, Genesis chapter 21, verse 4. And I want you to always remember how you got to your promise. Are you with me? Pay attention to that. Watch this. Watch verse 4. It says, then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old. You know they do that now. Amen. This is where they got it from. The 8-day thing is because of the vitamin K. That's when your body starts producing vitamin K around 8, after you're about 8 days old. Imagine that. Imagine that the God who was back then is still in medicine today. Come on, help me. The requirements are still there, but watch. Circumcision, you need to know something about circumcision. Whenever a Jewish boy was born, he was circumcised as an identification that he was a Jew. That was a command from God that every Jewish child, the difference between a Jew and a Gentile is that the Jew is circumcised. Now, the word for circumcision means extra. Are you with me? Now watch this. In other words, what God was saying to them, I'm cutting off the extra skin to show you that you belong to me, the flesh. Come on, help me somebody. But here's the thing. Circumcision just was for identification, not relationship. The person still had to build a relationship with God. Are you following me? And also, circumcision shows exclusivity in the relationship. In other words, when you see a Jew or when you know this child is a Jew, is because in circumcision, the child is being set apart for God. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Well, let me bring it back to today now. Today, when you give your heart to Jesus Christ, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, but in baptism, you are now identifying yourself as a Christian, a believer of Jesus Christ, and that's why it's so important that after you get saved, you go down in that water. That water doesn't save you, it just identifies you. Do I have anybody? And here's the reason I can laugh again, because there's joy when we follow God's commands. Come on and help me somebody. There's joy when you, if God says do this, you do that. But it's an amazing thing that as a believer of Jesus Christ, the thing that identifies me doesn't save me. But what it does do, it sets me apart. It sets me apart, and then it gives me what I need for this exclusive relationship. Do I have anybody? See, without the Holy Spirit, we couldn't come into church. Without the Word of God, without the Holy Spirit, we couldn't understand this Word. Some of us read this Word but can't understand it. But can I help you with something? If you know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sin, if you've been blood bought, baptized, and filled with the Holy Ghost, can I help you with something? You will understand what God's commands are. And here's what I'm trying to tell you. Even on your worst day, you can laugh. Even on the days that you don't feel like getting up, you can have joy in your heart. You want to know why? Because you've been identified, you've been set apart, and you can follow God's command. Problem we got is there are some people who are trying to follow his commands, but they can't do it because they don't have the necessary things that can help them to do it. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God. Come on and help me somebody. And those are the two things that can help us, watch this, as believers. See, there are days where I don't want to laugh. But I remember what it took to get here. Come on and help me somebody. But can I tell you something? I got joy today. You know why I got joy? Because whereas I was not obeying God before, I can obey him now. Aren't you glad that your identification, watch this, sets you apart so that you can praise God, watch this, not when people are around, but when you're just in your private moments with God, you can praise him, you can magnify him, you can glorify him. Watch this, you can identify yourself as a Christian. Are you with me? Watch the text. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, now here's the interesting part. Interesting part to this text is this. Verse 5 says, now Abraham was 100 years old when his son, he laughs, was born to him. Imagine that. He was 100 years old. He was past his prime. I mean, at least for having children. I wish I had somebody. I like to get into this a little bit. Like, why did God wait till he was 100? When he was incapable of doing anything. Because God knows us. You know what God knows about us? God knows that if you do it, you're going to brag about it. God knows that if you can accomplish it, you wouldn't hang around. See, the church is the lifeline, y'all. The church is the lifeline. Without this, I have no air to breathe spiritually. Are you with me? But the thing about it is God's timing. I told you last week that God's timing is perfect. When you wanted to do something, you ever notice how every door closed? Come on, help me somebody. But God did something. He was holding you back. You wanted to be with that man so bad. Oh, Lord. And you found out. Hey. Come on, help me somebody. Y'all want to talk with me now? Y'all want to be sanctified this morning? Huh? You wanted that man so bad. He looked at it real good. Amen. He looked at it real good. Amen. But you were just paying attention to the outward. You wasn't paying attention to the fact that he wasn't the one. But here's the thing. But you opened the door. God didn't open that door. Come on and help me somebody. God didn't open that door. And so waiting is important. But while you're waiting, there's some things you got to recognize that God is doing. So the next thing, reason I can laugh now is because we recognize that God is the only one who can do the impossible. God is the only one that can do the impossible. I asked myself, I said, why did they repeat this in this chapter? And why is God giving us this detail? God has given us this detail not just for us to just look at it. He wants us to study it. He was 100 years old, okay? I'm saying one more time. Sarah was 95, okay? So we got two problems on our hands, okay? And you know when your testosterone is gone, it's gone. When you're shooting baby powder and blanks, stuff ain't working. So I'm saying to myself, God, what is you doing here? And what God has showed me in this is that, man, listen, I needed them to get to the point where they couldn't do anything but. Can I ask you a question? Are you in that situation right now where you can't do anything but trust God? You can't do anything but, listen, there's no way out for you. All you can really do is laugh. You might as well. Listen, you done did enough crying. Come on and help me somebody. Because when you know God and you know who he is, and you know what he promised. See, Abraham and Sarah had not experienced this from God. But we get a chance to see what they experienced, and we can learn from this that nothing is over until God says it's over. Don't you give up just yet. Just when you get ready to give up, you'll find out that God will step in right on time. I said right on time. And look what the text says in verse 6. It says, now let's look at Sarah. So Sarah is something else, boy. Sarah been doubting the whole time, okay? Sarah been laughing. Now the laughter she had before was a laughter of scorn. This is a laughter of joy. That laughter she had before in the tent. Yeah, right. I hear what God's saying. And that's the reason why they tried to help God with Hagar. But watch this. Sarah said, God has made laughter what? You know when you get old, you stop laughing? Some of you? Uh-oh. I'm stepping tall now. See. For real. You know, you ever seen mean old people? I mean, seriously, they ain't got nothing to laugh about. Go in this grocery store, you'll see it. They mad because the food prices went up. and can't get no food stamp. Just upset. Like, how you doing today? You all right? I'm like, what? Is everything all right, ma'am? Just grumbling about everything. But you got to check it out. The text tells us that Sarah said God. She said God. At least she recognized God, right? God has made laughter not at me, but what? But watch Sarah's mindset. And this is our mindset. Don't ever be embarrassed. Okay? About where you are in life. And stop thinking so much about what people will think over what God has said. Interesting. Girl, you just got pregnant at 195. And you worrying about what people think? I wonder what, you were married? So it wasn't like, you know, you were dipping and tipping. What's she doing dipping and tipping at 195 anyway? But that's another story. That's for another day. Sarah says, everyone who hears, can I tell you something? Your story does not come at the expense of you being the joke. Gosh, my God. But don't you be ashamed of what God, listen, God takes prostitutes. He take pimps. Listen, if you're real pontificus and you're real professional in here, this is the wrong place for you. Because the church is full of all kinds of thieves and killers and sinners. And yeah, this is what this place is about. This ain't for perfect people. Okay, so Sarah's like, man, when they hear about this, everyone, they're going to be laughing. And so my question to you is this. You can laugh because, watch this, next point is this. Because God did it all for his glory. Your storyline has a story that will help somebody else to laugh with you, to say, I know what you've been through. And we can laugh together now. Listen, we can sit down and rejoice the fact that we made it. Come on, help me somebody. Listen, just when it looked like, can you imagine? Sarah and Abraham told their people, God told me to leave. And they've been waiting like, yeah, okay. I see what you're saying. It's been 22 years and I'm laughing at you, bro. But in God's timing, it came to pass. And guess what? Guess who's laughing now? Turn to your neighbor and say, guess who's laughing now? Yeah, they were laughing at me. They wrote me off. They thought I was never going to be nothing. They said, you said God told you to start this church 18 years ago. Yeah, okay. But joke on you, because look at us now. We're still here. We're still doing God's work. We're still glorifying God. And that's the key. The key to your life is that whatever you're laughing about or whatever people are laughing at you about, remember this, they're not going to laugh forever. As a matter of fact, if you do it for God's glory, they're looking at you now saying, look at you losing everything. Look at you losing in life. But don't you worry about what people are thinking. Don't you worry about what people are saying. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. And if you do it for his glory, it will come to pass. For his glory. For his glory. Listen. No matter what she felt, amen, they were no longer laughing at her. They were laughing with her. Are you with me? But Sarah had this imposter syndrome a little bit. She didn't really believe in herself that much. She was more concerned about, listen, don't stop caring about what people think. I believe some of you are stuck because you care too much about what people think about you. That you won't step out on faith. You won't do what God has called you to do because you're afraid of what they're going to say. Who cares? Do what God has called you to do. Look what he says. I'm going to sit down now. I got no time. I got 7 minutes and 21 seconds. You with me? And look what it says in verse 7. And she said, you see, this is the thing right here. She says, who would have said? I wish it was written like, who would have thought? To Abraham that Sarah would what? Wait a minute. Even Sarah is in awe. Man, when was the last time God did something so amazing for you that you could say, man, I'm in awe. I'm in shock. Anybody? Y'all, that side ain't working today. Anybody? Come on, that she's like, come on, anybody? look at the text. The text says that Sarah would nurse a child, yet I have borne him, watch it, a son. In what? In no, notice how Sarah was about her man. Oh, I wish I had somebody. She said, I bore him a son. Not in my old age. Lord, y'all ain't getting it. But watch this. But in his old age, it ain't over. Tell your neighbor, it ain't over. Till God says it's over. And so the reason I can laugh, because what we can't explain, we just have to laugh about it. What we can't explain, listen, your laughter tells me a story. Come on, somebody. Now, I know you've been crying. Oh, I got it. You had 25 years of that. Tell your neighbor it's time to laugh. Tell your neighbor it's time to laugh a little bit. Because listen, I've been crying too long. And the text says, weeping may endure for a night. But joy, I say joy, comes in the morning. Anybody here got joy? You've been waiting on God? And can I tell you something? He is that kind of God. He can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think. And when you mix the promises of God with faith, what comes out in the final product, it may take a week, it may take an hour, it may take a year, it may take 25 years, but the more you mix, the more you receive. The more you mix, the more you receive. Keep laughing. Keep laughing. Laughter is a gift. It's a gift from God. And in due time, you'll laugh all the way home. Come on and high five somebody and tell them, I'm grateful that I can laugh again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You can laugh again. Hallelujah. All right. I got another service to preach, y'all. I ain't getting no more out of me. Amen. To God be the glory. It's some of the passages of scripture that I look at. And I say, God, what can I preach out of this? You know what we've been doing, right? We've been going through. We started in chapter 17. Yeah, we started in chapter 17. This is about a year now. And we've been walking through Abraham's life every Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, right? But watch this. It's amazing when you get to a passage and you don't see it right away. And then God starts coloring in the pieces. He starts putting it together and you say, wow, man, I could laugh again. Some of you got to learn how to laugh, y'all. Seriously, you don't have to make somebody the joke. So I got a problem with that. Every time somebody come in the room, they want to cap on somebody. You understand what I'm saying, Cliff? I know. Amen. You understand what I'm saying, Cliff? Amen. Every time they come in, maybe they ain't got nothing good to say. Maybe they don't know what to say. Amen. But you know, here's the thing. It's good to laugh. Come on, man. We do too. Listen, you know what I always say in church? At some point, and please, y'all, meant no harm by what I said earlier, okay, about what God brings into church, but that's the facts. But here's the thing. At some point, we got to move from ICU in the church. Because every time you come to church, you come into the emergency. At some point, you got to move to recovery. At some point, you got to move from ICU to recovery at some point, spiritually. So God is saying, listen, you can laugh. Don't worry about what people think. Now, if you keep living like that, you're going to delay what God has for you.